Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
So we've got news breaking out all over the place, Mr. Barker, all everywhere. About 20, 25 minutes ago, the Blue Jays announcing that Ross Stripling has been scratched from his start today with a right forearm tightness. Actually, it was Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, who told the New York Press about this about half an hour ago. So Ross Stripling will not be starting for the Blue Jays today. TJ Zoik, who, in my opinion, should have been starting anyhow, based on what he did the last time against the Yankees, will get the start. But that's not the da-da-da-da bad news, although strained right forearm tightness is never good. Julian Merriweather, remember how excited we were about him? He's now become, by my count, the 4,335th Blue Jay to go on the DL, or the IL, with a left oblique strain. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kidding. But he is on the IL with a left oblique strain. And his spot in the roster will be taken by Anthony Castro. So there you are. You're up to date. The Jays and Yankees, first pitch will go in about an hour. The Yankees lineup is in. Hicks, Judge, Gardner, Sanchez, Torres, Bruce, Urshela, Odor, Higashioka. No DJ LeMahieu or Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup for the Yankees today. This is the rubber game of the series. The Yankees sending Corey Kluber out to the mound. So, Mr. Barker, last night at roughly, I'm going to give you credit for this. Last night, here's my text. For some reason, there's no time here. But I'm going to say it was about 10-ish, a little after 10. I get a text from Kevin Barker. Merriweather 96, not 99, ? You wondered about his health. We saw him come out of the game with, at the time it was described as hip irritation, which I guess hip oblique.
Yep.
Same sort of general area.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing with Julian Merriweather, isn't it? This is his career in a nutshell.
It is.
Gives you a glimpse of overpowering stuff. And then he's hurt.
Yeah. We have no idea what they do, you know, between the times they pitch HP departments. We have no idea. But it's starting to be something that, you know, organizational-wise and you know, pitching-wise, that they need to take a long look at. Is that Julian Merriweather's fault? Is that something that the organization's doing to you know, cause things like this? You know, again, I have no idea. I'm not in the clubhouse. I'm not on the field with them. I'm not working out with them. I have no idea. You just seeing things like that, you know, could it be these guys trying to throw velocity? That could be it. You know, the super hard secondary pitches with the – okay. You know, it could be routines. It could be the way you warm up in the bullpen. Or it could just be that's who you are and you get hurt a lot.
But, Bark, what do we talk about with Julian Merriweather? It's effortless. You watch 99 and it's like he's not breaking. So maybe it's something mechanical, but I'm not seeing, you know, I worry about Robbie Ray with the grunting more than I do with Merriweather. That's what concerns me. Is it's not like he's a max effort guy. Maybe there's a, you know, there's some sort of mechanical issue. I don't know. But that's, it's not good news. The Jays are in the middle of a run where they're playing, 16 games?
Yeah.
And, you know, they've already, Hyunjin Ryu, by the way, we should mention the Jays won 7-3 last night. Lots of good stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Hyunjin Ryu was great with an extra day. But this is the thing. I mean, they're dealing with a lot of stuff. Robbie Ray is just back after missing the last part of spring training with an injury. Who the hell knows when Nate Pearson's going to be available. Who the hell knows when Thomas Hatch is going to be available? So you got your best pitcher, Hyunjin Ryu, is a guy you need to, you probably want to give that extra day to. There's a lot going on here right now, you know? And yeah. Jordan Romano last night, for whatever reason.
Tanner Roark.
Didn't look great.
Here he comes. You're going to see
Jesus,
more of that.
Tanner Roark.
Well, TJ Zoid throwing today.
Tanner Roark.
There's a good chance that you're going to see Tanner sooner than later. You know, some guys are going to have to be put in roles that they're probably not used to being put in.
Please, God, let it be in a weekend game so I don't have to talk about it.
And that's going to put more pressure on the other parts of the Blue Jays game, which is offensively.
Oh, and by the way, no George Springer yet.
Yeah. And Teoscar Hernandez is going through what Teoscar Hernandez is going through. They've hit a big bump in the road.
Yep. We will be joined by Ben Wagner just before game time. Ben is in Dunedin with the Blue Jays, and he was on Charlie Montoyo's Zoom call, which took place just as we came on the air. Again, the news, Ross Stripling has been scratched from his scheduled start with right forearm tightness. TJ Zoik will start in place of him. Julian Merriweather has gone on the 10-day IL with a left oblique strain. Yeah. You know, of course, that Teoscar Hernandez is out for 10 days with COVID-19.
Yeah.
And
Stripling would make you wonder about the breaking ball. You know, that's a lot of what he was talking about is when I'm good, I can break it off. I can get still a strike with it. You know, you're moving your finger around a little bit. That puts more pressure on your ligaments around your forearm and your elbow. More extension. It's 2 + 2 is what? So that's probably what that's all about. He needs to work through that, however that may be. You know, you maybe throw less breaking balls and don't throw more four seamers down the middle. That's what it is. If you locate the four seamer a little bit more, you're probably not having to, you know, and oh, by the way, he has added a cutter. That, you know, changing grips makes you change the way you use all the other things that connected to your wrist, your fingers, your hand. It's a lot going on for these guys to think about how am I going to give my team a chance to win. And, oh, by the way, I want to make as much money as I possibly can. And the way I do that is to get as many outs as possible and make it look cool all at the same time. And to ask a guy that throws 90 miles an hour to do all those things, it's not the easiest thing to do. But, yeah, it's TJ Zoik's day, right? It's not like they're, you know, he's out of routine. I'm sure he did all the things he was supposed to do. Pete Walker's very good at saying, hey, we may need you. You may be coming in after Stripling, so be ready. And I'm assuming that the communication factor was there and all the things that were leading up to the time he's pitching today. And, oh, by the way, he had a pretty good start the last time he pitched against the Yankees with the four innings and the three hits and the walk and the strikeout. So it wasn't too bad.
Here is the Blue Jays lineup for today. Marcus Semien leading off at second base. Bo Bichette is batting second at short. Vladdy Jr., third. Guess what position he's playing?
DH.
He's DH.
How about it?
Randall Grichuk's in center field. Kevin Biggio batting fifth and playing third. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. in left. Rowdy Tellez, he is at first base. Alejandro Kirk is behind the plate. Josh Palacios in right field.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit of that, too, is who's pitching. TJ Zoik throws a lot of ground balls. You know, there might be a lot of picking going on over there at first base. Maybe give Vladdy a day off. But, you know, look, if you're a fan of the Blue Jays, watch their at-bats. Yeah, Vladdy's not a DH. Vladdy is a everyday position player. You know, he's in a groove. He's found his Jimmy Johns at first base, right? He's found it. So hopefully the at-bats are, you know, we saw Marcus Semien. His at-bats didn't look the same DH. And we saw Bo Bichette. His at-bats didn't look the same DH. And you play in that park where you have to run down the right field line to stay loose and run in the batting cage. Look, that takes planning. And, and you know, hitters aren't very good at thinking. They're just not. Trust me, I tried to think for 16 years. It ain't no good. I'm sitting here with you, right?
Well, there you go.
Guillermo, let's plan on when we have to run down so you can soft toss me to stay loose. It's not the easiest thing. So, you know, just pay attention to and hopefully he can stay within what he's doing because, Vladdy, listen, it's real hard not to just all up on jump on that bandwagon because you saw him yesterday for the first time that I've seen him, and I really look at a guy like that because I expect more from Vladdy than I do most. Talk about Vladdy the way you do. You expect him to do things that most humans can't do, and yesterday's the first time I actually see him pitch to pitch, make an adjustment. And that double he hit to right center with two outs with a runner on second base, He took a big old giant huge hack, which is what they do. They're young. They think they're, you know, they're invincible. We can hit the ball further than most humans. And the way we do that is just take a big old giant hip donkey swing. He took it, and then all of a sudden he gets to two strikes. What's he do? He shortens up. He's under control. He's driving down and through the baseball. He kept his eyes on the ball. He's got the nice little finish. What's he do? He backspins a double to right center field. That's next level stuff. It truly is. And if you can continue to see that, you get George Springer back and you get Bo doing Bo things. And I laugh. You laugh at me whenever I say, what do you think of this guy's defense? Well, how's the first question I ask you? Well, how's he hitting? What did Bo look like the last play of the game? You ain't seen Bo make a play like that and throw it over to first base.
Without even thinking about it.
Well, it was 2-for-4 with a double, and he's been raking. You start raking and doing what got you to the big leagues, the defense is just, hey, I'm out there just, look at me, I'm 2-for-4.
All right. So, 416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590, 590 is a text line. It is walk-off Wednesday. Your calls, make it a good one. We'll play it at the end of the show. Got to talk about Vladdy's defense clearly in that 7-3 game, 7-3 win, I should say, last night. Now, this surprises me. We saw, how many times did Vladdy do the splits?
At least three times,
including in the last play of the game.
Yeah.
Now, I was impressed with that because that's a big old man.
That's a large human.
That's a large human doing that. And I said to you, you know, as impressive as I was, I said, but I've seen other first basemen do the splits. I said, you must have done this. No.
Not a chance.
All right.
Not a chance. And then what did I say to you next? That I worry about that. You got to be real careful with a guy that's that big. You got to be real good with your stretching, with getting loose, with staying loose all the time. You know, with say you have a long second inning and you get tight and you have to go out and you do a stretch like that and you pull something and that hurts you and that hurts your team. You know, you play a night game, you come out day game, you're not as limber and as loose as you were. I mean, it's nice. It's fun. Hey, look at that. Wow, that's impressive. But, that's one of those things, Jeff, is you got to be real smart as a player. I know that he's trying to help his team, and he's getting frisky, and he is frisky because he's hitting. And your defense is always better when you're hitting. Trust me, I was a much better defender when I was raking than I was when I wasn't raking because I'm worried about, you know, how do I get the foot down and get it singing. But that's just hopefully that you know, 2 months from now, we don't see an issue with him because of the stretching. And I get it. He's trying to help his teammates out by the throwing. And it's fun to watch, but I'd rather have him in the game 155 games.
Yeah, it's look, I said yesterday on social media, man, after the game, Vladdy's defense, I'm not.
It's the least of their worries.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with it. I expect Vladdy to make the routine plays now. I hope that he makes the odd exceptional play, but I'm not. To me, it's one of the things, it's one of the boxes I think we can check off.
Yeah, he's comfortable.
He is comfortable. That's the main
thing. He's confident.
You talked a lot about, and I know this is getting really technical here, but I think it's important when you watch Vladdy at first base because he was doing it again last night. And again, I'm not picking him apart here. But you talked about how you eventually want to get to the point where you're not always in the middle of the bag when you're reaching for the ball. You want to use the corners. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
for obvious reasons. It allows you to be more athletic, and it allows you to keep the ball in front of you. It allows you to reach your fullest when it comes to stretching. We've seen Rowdy Tellez out there drawing lines saying, if you stretch this far, this is when you need to start using the webbing of your glove. And, you know, it's a lot of things going on that he has to think about. But for me, that's real simple. The better your footwork are, the better your glove positioning is going to be, the more aggressive you will be, the better you will be at blocking. I'm not saying it's an issue because he is new at first base. And you see all new first basemen. They'll run over there, plant their heel, and get very stationary. And then a ball is thrown and they haven't stretched far enough when if they were using all the corners of the bag, the play would be made a lot easier and you can help your team out a little bit more. Now, it's graduation time for him a little bit. And hopefully, you know, I know Louis Rivera is not going to rock the boat because he is offensively and he has got some mojo at first, right? He's confident over there. He thinks you throw it near me, I'm going to pick it and I'm going to help you. And and we're going to get every out we should be getting. And you don't want to rock the boat, but it's that next step. It's that now let's get better footwork and let's make it look that much easier. And now you can be consistent with it. Now it's just going to be a habit for you that you run over. So, you know, it's you are picking a little, but we like to do that because we expect a lot from Vladdy.
Rowdy Tellez homered last night and a big home run.
Yeah, and also it was off a lefty. You know, the last time he'd done that is September 25th of 2019. That was all Paul Fry of the Orioles. Been a while since he got it down and got it singing against a lefty.
Vote of confidence from the manager? Or in that case, do you – I mean, you're not going to make a move at that point in the game, are you, with that?
I don't think so. I think he's getting to his finish. Cecil Cooper used to always tell me, the great Cecil Cooper, he taught me a lot of things when I was coming up, and he taught me one thing about how to struggle. You learn what kind of human you are when you're struggling. It's rosies when you're 4-for-4 every night and you can run to the park and you can't wait and everything's peaches. But when you're struggling, you start out 0-for-28.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's gut check time. And Cecil Cooper used to always tell me, when you're struggling and you're a bigger guy, work to get to your finish. Everything you do, cage, on the field, whether it's flips, whether it's hard, soft toss. You know, hard, soft toss is a big deal for a bigger guy because they work on the rhythm and timing. And in his Rowdy's Zoom, he's talking about rhythm and timing and getting to his finish. And you saw last night.
Mm-hmm.
When he's easy and that thing's nice and in a flow, you know, it just looks like, you know, some guys say you're singing a song. It might be a bit much. You know, everybody can sing a song to themselves up there. You know, you got a little rhythm. So he's
what song did you sing to yourself?
I didn't have a song.
You must have had a flip. My guess is it would be Fleetwood Mac.
I was very stationary.
Really?
You know, I had a little hand movement, and I wasn't singing at the time.
I thought you'd be singing Sweet Dreams Are Made of This by the Eurythmics or something like that.
Yeah, if only I knew then what I know now, I'd have been a much better player, Jeff.
Mm.
But he talks about the rhythm and timing and getting to his finish, and you know, the lefty thing will give him confidence and give his manager confidence.
Right.
Now I'm not having to match up. Now I'm not having to think three innings ahead. If they bring this lefty in, what am I doing with Rowdy? Or what am I doing with Cavan? You know, now it's – if Rowdy gets hot and can hit sixth or seventh in your order, and you get, you know, Teoscar back and you get George Springer back, and, I mean, that's some scary stuff.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Ahead of today's first pitch, which is at 107, 590, 590 is the text line as well. A couple of things we want to talk about. One, are you with me? Vladdy's defense, no longer a thing. We can talk about something else, like Bo Bichette's throws or Kevin Biggio's throws. But are you on board with me that it's time to put aside the question as to whether or not Vladdy can play first base? And I got another question for you as well. Are the Yankees really all that? You know, something we've talked about, and I've made my point pretty clear here. I don't think the Yankees are I don't think they're the beast of the East by any stretch of the imagination. Good lineup, but they're not playing.
Jay Bruce was hitting ninth yesterday. He's got 319 career homers. Ninth in their order. So Aaron Boone thinks they got a pretty good lineup. I mean, off to slow start because they got a bunch of big boys with a bunch of big swings. And I think Luke Voit is a giant loss for them. They got to hurry up and get him back.
Yeah, I think I am surprised that I'm saying this because I look at that lineup. But, yeah, I think there's a reason now Luke Voit did what he did last year. And that wasn't just a 60-game sample
home
size.
Home runs, you can make up for a lot of faults.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We'll be back with your calls, back with your texts. 107 first pitch, Jays and Yankees. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590, the text line. I wish you put your name on this text because it's pretty good. Somebody says, Vladdy is channeling Simone Biles at first. She's his spirit animal. Great to see. Vladdy, we're comparing Vladdy to a gymnast now at first base. That's fine. And that's I got no problem.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun to watch because you don't see a ton of first basemen that can stretch.
Now, as long as you don't hear that groin go bing.
Yeah, I just want him to be real careful because if they lose him for a long period of time.
No bueno.
It's not good.
Sean in Hamilton. You're on Baseball Central with Blair and Barker. So are you with us here? We are not going to make Vladdy's defense a thing anymore, at least till he makes a big error today, in which case we'll come on and say, well, no, he's DHing today, so he's not going to make a big error. Is that issue over in your mind, Sean? We're done with Vladdy's defense at first base.
I have no problem with his defense at first base. It takes a little bit to get used to it. He seems to be doing all right, so I don't have an issue there. What I would like to talk about is your opinions on Ohtani. Now that he's the everyday DH, so he's a full-time player now. So it's apples to apples, oranges to oranges. So now is he considered one of the top candidates for MVP, considering he's, what, top 20 in batting average? He's top 5 in RBIs. He's top 15, I think, in home runs. And once he starts pitching, and again, if he stays healthy,
right,
he's going to win 10, probably 15.
Exactly. Listen, it's funny because Jeff Passan and I have had this discussion. I mean, I'm a guy as an MVP voter. I voted for Greg Maddux for National League MVP one year. I have voted for pitchers for most valuable players, and I understand there's always the argument in baseball, right? The pitchers have their own award, Cy Young Award. The hitters have their own award, MVP. This is going to be an intriguing test because I don't pretend to know. Like, I don't look at it wins, but necessarily it wins. But if Shohei Ohtani has a year where he is in the top 10, you know, in hitting, is up there in several offensive categories, I can see this just being an added benefit and an added way for him to win MVP.
Okay,
award.
If he makes, say he makes 20 starts and he has an ERA of somewhere in around 3, I mean, he hits somewhere around 290 with 20 plus. That's a slam dunk.
Yeah. Yeah, like
it's not even close. Now, I know the guy on his team that plays center field is the best player on the planet, and he's going to put up silly numbers because it just looks like he's on a mission, and every single at bat, he looks like he does something better. But look, if he can stay healthy, the talent is off the charts. Now you're seeing that the sneaky speed he's got. What if he steals 20 bases on top of it?
Well, and the other thing about Shohei Ohtani, and this is unfair, I think, to Mike Trout, but you have to understand, I'm saying this as somebody who has voted for MVP awards before and understands that I understand the process pretty well. I wouldn't say that there's Mike Trout fatigue because Mike Trout is the best player in the game. But in the past couple of years, I think we've seen voters try to come up with reasons not to vote for Mike Trout.
Well said, yeah.
Don't you agree with
me?
I just do. It's like, yeah, Mike Trout's a great, oh God, do I have to vote for Mike Trout again? I mean, yeah, he's done this, he's a best player in the game, but Jesus, his team doesn't make the playoffs. I hardly ever get a chance to see him. I mean, Mike Trout never even acts like he wants the MVP award. I think there's kind of a fatigue with Mike Trout. And voters are always looking for the next new thing. And yeah, it will be really hard to. The only way I think Shohei Ohtani doesn't get an awful lot of MVP votes and isn't in a lot of people's ballots is if he gets hurt. I think if he just has kind of a normal-ish year, there are people.
Yeah, you got to figure Trout's going to hit 40. I would assume he's going to hit somewhere 280-ish. He'll drive in probably 90 to 100 runs because he's hitting behind Shohei. You know, Ohtani's going to get some better strikes to hit because of who's on the on-deck circle. If he makes 20 starts, he's got an ERA of somewhere around 3. I'm not saying it's going to be 3, but close to 3, even 3.5. He makes the 20 starts. That's the thing for me. Offensively, I just don't know if he'll hit enough home runs. If he's only an offensive player, as a DH, you got to hit, you know, north of 40. And drive in north of 100.
Where did Nelson Cruz finish in MVP voting last year?
I mean, he's not, you know, not great. I don't think, and he's 40 and north of 100.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but it's an interesting debate. And I mean, I don't even know if it is a debate. If Shohei Ohtani has a really good year, a lot of people are really going to want to vote for him.
I think they're going to say what you said. They're going to make up reasons not to vote for Mike Trout.
Joe in Mississauga. So are you on board with this whole idea now that we can put Vladdy's defense to rest and we can stop talking about it and just kind of just watch Vladdy play D?
I just got something to say about that. I'm sorry I didn't hear you earlier. And
that's all right.
To hear you guys again. And I wish I was at the Rogers Center and watching a game right now.
Oh, man. Us too, man. Us too.
Anyways, I don't want to dwell on it, but I just thought it was funny the other day watching, Vladdy, obviously our young core, it's awesome to see what the potential is. And but when I saw Rowdy putting a semicircle across mm-hmm. first base and kind of saying, this is what you got to do. And I'm thinking, God, he knew he was playing first base. The coaches knew he was playing first base. Kevin, aren't they going to tell the guy, the poor kid, how to play first base? They go back to Moneyball in Washington saying, well, it's hard to play first base. But I think it's hard to play any base in Major League Baseball. I think this is why we see Kevin bouncing balls and Bichette, I think, is a little antsy. I think their potential is awesome.
Yeah.
But are they going to be Major League infielders? Like, do you guys see that, Kevin? Do you see that?
Mark, I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah. With the Kevin.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
I think Kevin's good enough to play third, as long as he's not throwing balls away and he's getting close to your first baseman. First baseman's good enough to pick most of the balls. They don't want to make it a habit. Bo, this is just me. I think Bo's an everyday second baseman. I want to get the most out of Bo offensively I possibly can. And I just don't think long-term, that is a shortstop. I think whatever it is, it's throwing, whether it's first move, Bo, you can tell, is very hard on himself. He carries it over from one side of the ball to the other. I don't want that. I want him playing second base every single day, catching the routine play and hitting 300 with 30-plus and doing whatever he's doing offensively to not, get the fullest out of that and help his team win. But Vladdy, look, sometimes I think guys accept it a little bit more from their peers than they do from their coaches.
Hmm.
I just do. I did. Again, I had Cecil Cooper, and we had a very good relationship. He could walk up to me and say, that's not the way it's going to work for long periods of time. You should work on that a little bit more, work on it a little harder. And I did. I took it to heart, and I tried to make myself the best first baseman I possibly could. Rowdy's a good first baseman. He's got nice, soft feet there. He doesn't stand in the middle of the bag. He knows how to pick balls. He's very aggressive. That's what you have to be at first. You see Vladdy, he's very aggressive at first now. Yeah. He goes and gets the picks. He doesn't let the pick play him.
That throw he made at third base the other day, he had to do a lot for his confidence.
Yeah, angles is a big deal at first base, right? Clearing the runner and throwing mm-hmm. it over a runner. We've seen Albert Pujols try and do that, throw it over a guy running. It's only way you learn how to do that is actually doing it, experiencing it in a live game. And the more Vladdy plays at first, the more comfortable he's going to get, the better off he will be, and he will help his team. All the other parts of it, their second baseman for me is playing shortstop. They don't have their shortstop yet, and their third baseman has to hit more.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Ray in Brampton, you're on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. So is Vladdy's defense no longer a thing, Ray?
No, I'm not worried about Vladdy's defense. I'm more worried about the coaching, to be honest, or the manager. I actually want to ask you, Barker. I want to see if you can give a grade on Charlie Montoya in terms of everything, in terms of lineups, in terms of decisions, in-game decisions, mm-hmm. batting orders, all that stuff. Because, to be honest, I don't think he's the one. I don't think he's the one to lead this team to the promised land. I think we need somebody more old school, more experienced, a guy, someone like Tony La Russa, not Tony La Russa, but someone like him. So
oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. That's a solid point.
Yeah.
I just
Tony La Russa makes me break out in hives, but,
I think to the point is right now, Charlie, you think is the best for this team with what they're trying to accomplish. They're a young team. They're used to Charlie. Charlie's easy-go-lucky. You know, he's not going to yell and scream and tip over chairs between games. He ain't going to do that. It's just not Charlie's way. When it comes to making out the lineups, look, we said this till we're blue in the face. Charlie's got nothing to do with who's DHing that day, what the lineup looks like, where Kevin Biggio's hitting. You know, no person in their right mind right now would hit Kevin Biggio fifth. You just wouldn't. And Charlie,
where's he hitting today?
Charlie's not going to do that either. You know, so it's to say that part of it, I don't think you can blame Charlie for these kind of things. And look, they don't have their best players. You know, George is not here. Talisker's not here. You're trying to piece it together. You put guys where you think matches up the best with that pitcher, with that team. And you hopefully that, you know, they can get a good pitch to hit and put a ball in play. The grades, look, I came on this show and said I think Charlie should have bunted. I don't care when you bunt. It depends on who's on the mound and where your lineup is at. Maybe you could argue with a little bit of that, depending on what you think and how you think games should be played. I think it's all about the situation, but that's to each his own. My buddy here, Jeff Blair, doesn't think that. You know, he doesn't think you should bunt in the second inning. I think it doesn't matter when you bunt. I think it all depends on the guy standing on the mound and where your team's at and where your lineup's at to give your team a better chance to win. But look, it's 3 years from now, you may be having a different conversation. But right now, I just think you talk to everybody around the team and you talk to the players. They seem to be big fans of Charlie. And right now, I think that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm with you. Dan in Georgetown, bring back the great John Gibbons.
Great's a stretch for me.
John Gibbons and this team, I'm not certain that would. I respectfully disagree with the caller. I don't think you need an old schoolish guy around this team. I really don't. I think you need. I think Charlie's pedigree and Charlie is experienced. Like, with all due respect, Charlie's got a ton of experience.
He paid his dues.
He's paid his dues.
And you got to be a very good communicator, and you got to be a great salesman. You got to sell it to a player. You know, especially that middle of the road player, not the young player. A young player is going to do what they're told because they want to be a big leaguer. But that middle of the road guy who, you know, the front office is sending stuff down, and that middle of the road guy's going, "What? Wait, I've done it this for this many years." And that manager's got to really be able to call a guy in the office and go, "Hey, this is what the numbers are saying. This is what the front office thinks it should look like. At least try it."
Look, I judge, I've said this time and again, I judge managers in the bullpen. Once a game starts, a lot of stuff goes on that's out of their hands. You are right. They can decide whether or not to bunt, put a play on, et cetera, et cetera. But once a game starts, analytics determines how you defend. Analytics determines, by and large, when you are going to take your pitchers out. Analytics determines when you're going to put pitchers in. But a good manager, I think, knows when he has to. He knows the fights he can pick. And he knows that, hey, in this situation here, I'm going with this guy.
Yeah, well, managers make their money in sixth and seventh
in the bullpen.
Inning.
Yes, they
most
do.
Good teams have an eighth and ninth inning guy.
Yes, they
got
do.
That sewn up. It's that when the starting pitcher hands the ball to the manager, who's getting it in the sixth and seventh inning to bridge it to the eighth and ninth inning? I'm with you.
Yeah. No, I think that's I just think that's the reality of this situation. And I, as someone who's spent a lot of time around a lot of older managers, guys were going in the Hall of Fame, guys have won World Series, et cetera, et cetera. I hate to say this, but I think the manager is becoming less and less and less and less and less important into how the game is run. It's all analytics now. Look, we saw a guy take.
Look at the World Series.
Look at the World Series.
I mean, there you go.
Look at the World
Series. Nobody in their right mind would have done that.
No.
Just by optics.
No. Would not have.
Not a chance.
And no manager would do it because you're putting your ass on the line there.
You know, 100%. You got to answer to your team, too.
Exactly.
Which is
Kevin Cash can do it because Kevin Cash, everybody knows how the Rays operate.
There you go.
And Kevin Cash knows that his front office has his back, right, in that situation. Mm-hmm. But. Yeah, I think there's. I think the role of the manager, the type of people who are managers.
Yeah,
I think that's going to continue to change. Jace Tingler would not have been able to manage a team 20 years ago. I don't believe AJ Hinch would have been able to manage a team 20 years ago. I just don't.
I do think now in 2021 there is more pressure on the hitting coach and the pitching coach.
Correct.
I really do. If you ever notice when they pan the camera over, who's the one person that's standing right beside Charlie all the time?
Pete Walker. Yeah. I think the pitching coach now is where the pressure
is. And the hitting coach, right? You got to make adjustments of velocity. If you're not doing it, who do you blame?
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Barker's going to jump all over me if I don't give the Blue Jays hitters credit for something they did last night. I will do that when we come back. This is Baseball Central. Yes, Barker, you're right. I will acquiesce and give them credit for this. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. .107 first pitch, the rubber match, the three-game series between the Jays and Yankees from Dunedin. Ross Stripling scratched from his start. TJ Zoik will make the start for the Blue Jays instead. Julian Merriweather, he is on the 10-day IL with a left oblique strain, and his spot in the roster has been taken by Anthony Castro for the New York Yankees. Corey Kluber is starting, and we talked about the significance of this series, getting to see Jameson Taillon last night, and getting to see Corey Kluber today. This is the soft underbelly, if you want to call it that, of the Yankees rotation. No Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup for the Yankees today. No DJ LeMahieu as well. Stanton was a scheduled day off. I just presume a day game after night game for LeMahieu.
How dare you DH five days in a row.
The Yankees have their HP department too now. So I got to give kudos to the Blue Jays because we talked a lot about how this team has difficulty handling velocity, elite velocity. We talked about it last year.
I don't even think it's elite.
Okay, velocity. Last night, Mr. Barker, they had 10 hits. Five of them on, drum roll please. Five of them on.
Fastballs. When's the last time you could say that? Now, I'm pretty in tune to
you watch. What, I know you
they,
chart
what
them
they and do and how they do it and when they do it and when they don't do it and you know, look, it's one of those things where in 2021 you better be ready to hit the heater. I get it. You go up and look spinner, which just makes me want to scratch my head continuously every time I see one of these good hitters go. I was sitting on slider. Well, league's hitting .140 off a slider. Why would you sit on it? Well, you think you're going to hit it? I just think it's you make it as simple as possible, Jeff. You simplify hitting as much as you possibly can. I remember listening to Rowdy Tellez do his Zoom call, and all he kept repeating over and over and over again is, I want to simplify this thing as much as I possibly can. What you look at or look for when you're at the plate, that's simple. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. Like, you know, spinning, you're not going to make a living off that. Look for something straight. Look for something a little velocity. You'll be on time for that, and you will start to notice. The more on time you are for that one pitch, the better chance it will give you to hit a secondary pitch because you're athletically in a position to, I see it out of the hand, it's velocity. Oh, wait, that's a breaking ball. Is it a hanger? Now I can throw my hands. I can level out my bat. I can drive the steering wheel with my bottom hand. It just makes a ton of sense, and you hope this continuously happens. And, oh, by the way, Marcus Semien has had four homers this year.
Yeah.
All four of them on the fastball. All four of them. It makes sense. Like, it's, you know, he's not hitting a ton. He's not getting a ton of hits. But when he gets a fastball that he should hammer, he's hammering it. That's all you can do. And he's looking like he could hit 30.
Well, he has. This is a guy who was, you know, placed very highly in MVP voting a couple of years ago. This was a question about him after last year.
Yeah.
You know, last year, we talked about this. It was 60 games last year. Guys have bad months. Guys have bad months and a half. Guess what? Bad month and a half, that's 45 games. Not much difference between 45 and 60.
There's not.
So, but yeah, he has pretty much come as,
for me, when George Springer comes back, he's the number two hitter. I like him. You can sandwich him in between him and
Who is Semien?
Yeah.
Yes.
Him and Bo, it gets, you know, it doesn't put Cavan down there. Cavan's not a number two hitter. He's just not. He's probably not a number five hitter. Not in my lineups. I mean, he is now. But when
righty,
who's your best hitters?
I guess. Yeah.
Who could hit velocity? You got George, Semien, and Bichette, and Vladdy. and Teoscar Hernandez, who all can hammer the fastball.
All right. I guess you're right. They're all everyday players, and lefty or righty, you're going to have Vladdy in the line. You're going to have them all in the lineup, lefty or righty. So you're right. Yeah,
it's like the rotation right now. Does it matter? Does it matter where you put the three lefties? The three lefties are your best three pitchers. Does it matter where you put them?
It's not perfect, but it's the best you got, basically.
There you go.
Is what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
We had a lot of breaking news today out of Blue Jays camp. So we're going to go to Ben Wagner, who is with the team in Dunedin, and we'll do the walk-off portion of the walk-off Wednesday next week. Again, when that means we get your calls, a call you like, we'll play it at the end of the show. You can walk off the show for us. But we mentioned that the Jays had a lot of news today. None of it really good. Ben Wagner, both. We'll talk about Ross Stripling in a minute, but man, Julian Merriweather. And I saw from your tweet that he said he felt that warming up in the bullpen, which would explain maybe a little bit of what we saw last night. How is the organization? How serious are they viewing this?
Well, I think everything with Julian Merriweather, because he has not proved so far in his time with the Blue Jays to be that durable, so they treat it very, very seriously. And like this organization, with every single oblique injury, you know, none of it seems to be quick. And with a pitcher, I read into a couple of things with a pitcher. The oblique injury was first diagnosed as left hip inflammation, so that sounds like it's low.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty low in the kind of the build of Julian Merriweather from what he was experiencing after that warm-up toss, but he only had to throw two pitches in that inning to get out of that frame with the Yankees last night. But that's really concerning, because that's the landing leg for Merriweather, and a lot of stress gets put on that top of the leg, lower part of the torso. So that's really concerning to me, just overall, regardless of who it is, especially the pitcher, and how much grind that puts on a body, let alone, I mean, Merriweather has his own set of rules most days anyway, where he's going to be down, rare is a back-to-back, let alone multi-innings. So, you know, this is really concerning, and it's a big blow to somebody that was outstanding in the Blue Jay bullpen.
Hey, do you have any idea why Jordan Romano was 5 days between outings, and why he looked not like Jordan Romano yesterday?
Well, I think the blowout one had a lot to do with it, and then the rainout, you know. So, time and score is what I fall back on. And there are a bunch of guys, you know, that just needed to throw right now. Mm-hmm. And with the gap in between outings is too much for Charlie Montoyo. He never wants 5 days to go in between, and that's another reason why he was cast into the situation last night, is to get some work. Not knowing what today would bring, but he wanted some sharpening work, because Romano's fastball just hasn't been as sharp as it was in spring training this season, and he's relied a lot on the sliders, both of them. You know, he's got two different sliders. So that was a product of, you need to work, so we got to get you into a game. And, you know, he didn't really have it revved up like he usually does last night.
Hey, we've got to talk about Ross Stripling as well. TJ Zoik starting today. Ross Stripling, a late scratch. I was frankly surprised that TJ Zoik wasn't going to start anyhow, based on what we saw from him the last time against the Yankees. But hey, when we hear right forearm tightness or right forearm soreness, you know, the right forearm's connected to Dr. Job, you know, or maybe not Dr. Job, but Dr. Andrews, I guess. That's the way I generally look at these things.
A lot of bells go off when you hear right forearm and anything associated with it. And today, the terminology was tightness, and Ross couldn't get loose when he got to the ballpark, and that's why they scratch him. It's important to note here, with the right forearm tightness, they have not placed him on the injured list.
Okay.
They have hit the pause button on determining, I guess, on how, or at least for the moment and publicly, how severe the diagnosis is right now. And the days at least line up for TJ Zoik, and there's a reason that TJ Zoik made a start against the Yankees in the Bronx. Same reason that TJ Zoik is going to make the start here in Dunedin. And his advantage right now, as I check the flags, they are blowing in from left center field. So a sinker baller, you expect a lot of ground balls. You got Rowdy Tellez playing at first base today. Even though Vlad has been pretty good over at first base, you know, they button it up with TJ Zoik regardless.
Okay, million-dollar question. When it matters, when he gets the ball from whoever he gets the ball from late in the game, who's getting the ball? pitch.
Who's going to close? That's what. Who's at the end of the ball game?
Yeah,
I think Rafael Dolis is. Yeah, Rafael Dolis is going to be the guy. Twofold because David Phelps took a kidney shot yesterday, and he's listed as day to day. Got hit with a 107 mile an hour liner. The Blue Jays would like to avoid using David Phelps, even if he can get loose enough to be available. They'd like to stay away from Phelpsy today. And Rafael Dolis, judging by where he was at the start of the season and then his last time out, he's continued to throw the ball better. And that was his best fastball command that we saw his last time out. So there's little hesitation for Charlie Montoya and Pete Walker to look at Rafael Dolis late in the ballgame today.
Been really good of you to do this, man. Thank you so much.
Well done.
Great to chat with you guys.
All righty. That is Ben Wagner. He is in Dunedin. We are about, 10 minutes? 15 minutes away from first pitch. Jays and Yankees, the rubber match.
Screams Tanner Roark. It does.
Dude, do not
Tanner
do that.
Roark.
Well, if it's 10, nah. don't even. Why would you do that? We're just about to have a nice lunch. And now you mentioned Tanner Roark. We'll be back at the end of the game, regardless of whether or not Tanner Roark pitches. We will be. It'll be Blue Jays talk right after the game with Barker and myself. Time now to turn you over to Rob Wong. Blue Jays, Yankees, Tabby and Buck will have the call of the game from Dunedin. We'll talk in the other side of this 6-2 Blue Jays win. How about that? You like that?